Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Understand you by and by. Take nothing less than the suffering best. Do not obey, no mistake or say, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little of faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.
This is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. Thank you for listening today on a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. This is a live call-in talk show, and if you want to listen to us today or you want to leave a comment or you have a question, dial 646-716-7572. Press the number one and we'll put you in queue. I do want to remind you that this is an hour-long show. So if you really want to talk to me, you want to have a conversation with me, let's go ahead and call a little bit earlier before 5 minutes to six. That way we'll have some time together, okay? I do want to talk to you about some things that are happening in our neck of the woods. Okay, in my neck of the woods. I was trying to see what I was going to talk about today. You know, I'm always going to talk about homeschooling. But I want to share with you, I want to share with you some things that are really, really happening in my town. And it's really disheartening when, some of you know that I work at a group home, and I work at a group home for pregnant teens and teen moms. And in this home, we've already had, and it hasn't been open very long. But I'm going to share something with you, mommies and daddies and aunties, uncles, grandmas, grandpas. Sometimes our young girls, they find themselves in situations where they wind up with babies. They wind up pregnant and, they have their babies, which is, we want to keep our race going, our black race going. But in this home, we have Mexicans, we have black. We haven't had any white people there yet. But anyway, it's so disheartening to me when I see our young black girls who have these babies and they don't do what they don't recognize the support group that they have in their family. And sometimes there's not a support group there. I understand that. But there is support around them, They're talking to someone. And they don't recognize the positive support group that's there. And it's disheartening when things happen and you talk to the young people, the young girls, about their choices that they're making, that they're young moms now, that they're single moms. And that's what I talk to them about. I don't talk to them as though they're teenagers who have a baby. They are teenagers. I do remind them that they are minors. But I also remind them that they are single parents. And that they have a responsibility now not to themselves but also to their child. And it's sad when they continue to make bad decisions. We just had one little young girl who went AWOL. I mean, she had her plan that she wasn't going to come to the house, back to the house or ask us a home pass, and she was going to be with her boyfriend and did all kind of maneuvering and manipulation to be with him. And I had already told her that, is this what you want your child to be around when he's not responsible enough to take care of his breathing equipment that he needs when he has an asthma attack? And she said, oh, that was Dennis now. Now he's sitting in jail. Earlier last week, he's sitting in jail. They found him for felony child abuse. Her son is in the San Francisco burn unit. For second-degree burns, and where is she going to go? She can't go back to her home. The baby can't go back to the home. If she doesn't get her baby back, and if they charge her with child neglect, she's losing her baby. She's going to a level 14 group home, and the baby's going up to foster care. And it may be that she may lose parental rights. It just may be that she may lose parental rights because this is not the first CPS case that she has on her. Once again, one of our children, one of our babies, a one-year-old, is going to foster care and maybe raised by people that don't look like him. Okay. And he's young enough to learn other cultures. He's young enough to pick up what we pick up, things that we will rather have him pick up, other stuff like our African culture. I don't know, but it's disheartening to me, and we have to do something about it. So I say that to say this, family. If you out there and you know of a young teenage girl who looks like you, please rally around them. Talk to them. Let's not put them down for the things that they've done. We got to remember that we have this stigma here in our society that you don't get pregnant until you get married and you have a family. You're ready to settle down and you can raise that family. You have enough money. But if we go back into our culture, I'm going to go back to me. When I started doing my family history, I found out that my great-grandmother, Martha Jefferson, she had her first set of twins at the age of 14. And she was married. She was with her husband. So, you know, back in the day, you know, we were having babies at a very, very young age. And the reason why we're having babies at a very young age is because we had to procreate because we were working for the master. We needed more families. We needed more people to help working in the field. Or if we owned the land, we had to cultivate that land. So we have a stigma, and I'm glad that she had her baby. I'm glad that she didn't abort him because he was a beautiful baby boy. But just so happy. But the fact is that she didn't have that support, or she didn't want to pull from the support that we had. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I wanted to push up against the wall and just pop her in the head and say, you need to listen here. But, you know, working, you can't do that. You got to be that support group and just talk. That's it for that. And I do want to say another thing. I was listening to a documentary or I'm not sure whether it was a State of the Black Nation or whatever it was, but there was a woman on there. She was talking about, and I'll post that on my Facebook page, at the Education of the Miseducation System. She was talking about how years ago, how the system came into our homes and told us that we can no longer spank or whoop our children. And then they took, they tried to take our discipline out of our home. Then they went to the school and took discipline out of the school. And I remember 1974, I was spanked by my high school dean of girls. I remember when my child was in fourth or fifth grade, and he's 37 now. We had to sign the permission so that they could be swatted, but they didn't do what they needed to do. So they're taking that out of school. So now she was talking about how everybody is scared of everybody. The principal is scared of the teacher. The teacher's scared of the administrator. All these people are scared of everybody, and nobody wants to do anything. But the students are now not scared of anybody. They're not scared, and they'll tell you right off. They get in your face. This young generation now, they will get in your face. They will curse you out. They will call you all kind of B's and MS and FU and all that. And they're not afraid. And I walk away like they did something. Tell me, let's raise our children better than that. Let's really raise our children better than that, because it's not good. It is really, really not good. The things that I see in my little one-horse town, in my little racist town, my little good old boy town. So if you're in a bigger city, I know you got it even more. I'm just grateful that my children are grown, that I've already raised them. I don't have to raise them in this time and day. And I'm grateful that I'm not growing up as a teenager in this time, because our teenagers have a whole lot of issues. I've always told parents this. This is our children need us more as they get older than actually when they needed us when they were younger. Let me say that again. Our children need us a lot more now than they did when they were young, really. But what we have a tendency to do is, those of us who still have our children in the system, schooling them, we have a tendency to have babysitters. And when I say babysitters, they're on the soccer team after school, they're in the after school program, they're on the football team, they're on the basketball team, they're on the track team. They're doing all these outside activities while we do what we need to do. And I'm not saying that we don't support our children, but we need to pull back from some of those things and take the time to be with our children, to share with them, to do something positive with them. We're right now in the summer area, and some of you guys will be going back to school in about a month and a half, maybe even a month. So you have a month to do something very, very positive with your child. And I'll tell you, I was in Vegas this past weekend visiting one of my best friends, her family. They had a big family gathering down there, so I went to Vegas with them. And I tell you what, it's really rough. It's really rough. I picked up a newspaper while I was there, and the headline was talking about the school system. Charter schools follow a trend. And there's a little town called Henderson right next to Vegas, and man, these people are about to ready. They're building charter schools that are run by private companies. And they're at the point of building about four or five charter schools there. And they're getting ready for the influx of people because a lot of people are moving into Vegas. But I met a young girl when I was there, and I met some other people when I was there. One of my brothers, Brother Robert, Asar Bragg, Robert Bragg. And I was, thank you for allowing us to visit his place. He has a program called AIP Academy out of Las Vegas. And it's a very good academy. I went to go visit it. I see him always on, his wife is always posting on Facebook. Beautiful young Brazilian woman. And just bringing that energy to young people. And both of his, all three of his boys are involved in the program. When I got there, they were doing African drumming, Brazilian drumming, whatever you want to call it. They're doing a capoeira, practicing that. Very skilled young people. And I want to thank them for that. I say that to say this. We need to find something that our children can do, that your children could pull from for their culture. We have black people all over the world. And I really don't like using the word black, but, you know, for a lack of a better term, that's what I'll use. I don't, you know, sometimes we get to the point where we don't know what to call ourselves. We're Africans living in, I'm an African living in the United States of America. I'm of African descent. That sounds good. So we have people of African descent, black African, dark African, of African descent, living all over the world. And we are the dominant people. We are not the minority. We are the majority on this planet Earth. If we pull together and start teaching our young people, maybe they have a better sense of who they are and where they come from. No, I haven't done my DNA testing yet, and I am going to do that. But I did get a chance to go to Florida and visit my family there and got a chance to talk to some more people about my history because I get stuck in Georgia. So I'm saying all this is that we as family, we as people of color, we have to teach our babies. We have to teach our babies. We have to teach our babies who they are, where they come from. We have to teach them the African culture. We have to teach them our African history. We don't have to just teach them, wait until it's time to teach them for Black History Month. We have to teach them all year long. We have to teach them at our dining room table. We have to teach them while we're riding in the car. We have to purchase books that relate to us. Have them look at books. Put that cell phone down with those games on it. Put that Nintendo, that Game Box, whatever, Xbox, whatever it is that you're doing electronically. Unless you find a program that is dealing with our culture, yeah, do that. But the most part, we're straying away from books. We're straying away from reading. We're straying away from writing. I have young people that I know that don't even know how to, they don't know how to spell. They don't know how to read. And they think they know everything. They don't know nothing. I like what Empress T put in on the education of the miseducated. She put, give the next generation a gift, replace these Bible characters. And, you know, she goes to Christianity, 101. So instead of having, say, Matthew, say, Mark, say, Luke, say, John, say, Paul, she has our ancestors here, Dr. John Henry Clark, Honorable Marcus Garvey, Mama Makia, Miriam Makeba, who's Mama Africa, Dr. Yosef Ben Hawkins, Sophie Carmichael, and Mama Harriet Tubman. We need to teach them about people like that, okay? So that's what I'm opening up with. Let's talk a little bit about homeschooling today. Last week I had on, thank you, brother, from Kamali Academy, the Warrior School. He was on my show last week, our brother Kamara. He was talking about his curriculum, an African-centered curriculum from Kamali Academy. And I hope you all had opportunity to go and look at his, look at the books, and look at the stuff that he's putting out that we could teach our children. And I really appreciate it because, like I said last week, I didn't know anything about this. I didn't know anything about an African center. I didn't even know anything about Africa. I didn't know nothing about my culture. I didn't know anything when I started homeschooling my children. I was a Christian, and my curriculum was Christian-based. It was prayer in the morning, you know, prayer at night, and they, even when they were going to public schools, prayer before they go to school. I'm covering them with the blood, you know, doing all that stuff, anointing their heads with oil, not knowing that a lot of stuff that I was doing was originally our stuff, African-centered stuff, you know, but I put that Christian Jesus thing on it. And I'm not putting down anything, it's just that I didn't know what I was doing, and I had no idea. And even in talking to people and even in doing the show, wondering where can I find some African-centered curriculum? Well, we found it, and Kamali Academy is putting it out there. And I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of other people who are putting it out there. One of my favorite places to go for information is the Black Homeschool. And I'm going to go there right now. And from what I'm understanding, when I went to this site, I found out that there's a gentleman who started this program, this site, and it says that Dr. Boyce Watkins, it was a the Black Homeschool .com is a project created by Dr. Boyce Watkins. And you know, I like to listen to him, and I like to hear what he has to say. And it's time that we listen, and he's working on a project right now that is teaching us, going to bring us back to our Black Wall Street. So if you ever have an opportunity to go online and look at Black Wall Street, the Black Wall Street, do that. So he's put together this, and I like this Black homeschool because I could go on there and I could get educational news. I could get things about raising Black children, resources, spotlights, success during school, success after school, and a way to also contact them. Now, and anything that we get, anything that we look at, you know how they say that when you eat the fish, you eat the meat, you spit out the bone? Same thing here. If there's something that you feel that is not relevant to you and your family, you know, toss it aside, but take what you can glean for what you have. And one thing that I like about this, when he's talking about educational news, and if you have the opportunity to go online, it's theblackhomeschool.com, one word. Go on and look at it, okay? The three important teaching lessons for homeschool. And this girl, Serena Crawford, she put out that, you know, when, and I've experienced this too, when people, when you decide to homeschool, you're going to have everybody talking about, well, not everybody, but you're going to have different people talking about or have their opinion about how you should teach your children. With me, I was denying my children the opportunity to mingle or to socialize with their peers. I was not a qualified teacher. I didn't have a teaching credential, and children need to be in school. What was up some of the other things? Oh, some people went behind my back to talk to my children. I don't understand what your mom's doing, and I feel sorry for you. And where my children are brilliant, these people who are telling my children these things are career college students at the junior level. Or they can't read, they came out of school, they were in special ed, they couldn't really do anything for themselves. They had to live off their parents and then marry people to take care of them and then, you know, do what they needed to do, living off of other people. But I found out that when I homeschooled my children, and as far as socialization, no. I chose who they would socialize with. Okay. My oldest one, and I was just talking to somebody about that yesterday, that my oldest son, when we finished school, he would go out and he would go work. He would get his bicycle, he'd get a bucket, he'd get a water hose and soap, and he'd go on the north side of town, down on the north side of downtown with the affluent doctors and lawyers and stuff, and he would wash their cars. He would go and he would wash people's windows. Oh, yeah. He would go and he would rake leaves. He even had a couple of guys, young kids with him, and he was young himself, washing cars and raking leaves and stuff, making money and splitting the money with the young people. So he was able to socialize, and he was able to go downtown to the city park, which wasn't that far away from us, and sit with the elderly, because there was like a senior citizen veteran building there, and they would sit out, the older men would sit out and play chess, checkers and stuff like that. And he would find himself sitting there learning those games and listening to their stories. I mean, the history that he was getting from a lot of these gentlemen, I mean, I could not have given that to him. But it allowed him to be well-known in the community, eventually work for the city recreation department, and design a skate park that they built. So things that we can do as homeschoolers that our counterparts who have their children in the public school are not going to get. I'm sitting up here looking at this article by Serena Crawford, and it's on the Black homeschool, and she's talking about there are three scenarios that she has come across, however, that she finds to be excellent methods of teaching. She likes to bring her, she brings her preschoolers into the nursing home, and that's something that I did. I work with bringing young people into nursing homes to sing to the children. I mean, sing to the adults, read books, or just they're visiting. These older people in these nursing homes, they love kids. some of them don't ever even see their grandkids because their grandkids are out of the state or out of town. But when you bring preschoolers in there and let them sit there and draw pictures and talk, oh, fuck, they love it. So then you have that. And then training your kids for non-existent jobs. Those are jobs that, you know, that we all have something in us that we can do. We were all built with born or created with a talent in us. And we have to educate. That means draw out that latent talent, that thing that's lying dormant in our children. And we have the opportunity as homeschool parents to be able to do that. But when our children are sitting in a public school classroom 8-9 hours a day, we don't have that. And you say, oh, they're not, yeah. Once my son left my home at 6:30 in the morning to catch the bus to go to school, and he didn't get home until almost 5. You count the hours. Because I'm talking about the time they leave your home and they're in that school and they come back to your house. Sometimes it's about 9 hours a day, more than you work. Okay, so is there any after-school programs or any after-school activities? That's more time that they're away from you. So when they're outside of where your realm, they're being taught other things, but when they're with you, you have an opportunity to teach them. You have an opportunity to draw that out of them on a regular basis. Yes, if you must put your child in public school, then it's up to you as parents, grandparents, whoever is the caregiver of these children to work with them on the weekend. No, Johnny, I'm sorry, you can't play football this year because it's taking away from the time that we as a family have together. And I really want to spend some time with you, my son, or you, my daughter, soccer, whatever it is. And we're going to do this. We're going to go to this museum. We're going to take a ride up to wherever we need to go to. We're going to go to a festival. We're going to do something that we can all get together. We can ride in our car, on a train, on the bus, whatever we need to do, we want to do that. Another thing that you can do with your children is if you have a place where you can plant your yard, or you maybe have a patio where you can put plant tomatoes in a patio garden where you have the big pot, the strawberries, whatever you can do, teach them, show them that they can grow their own food. Because it's going to come a time, but this is something that we're going to have to actually do. And I believe that when we start teaching our children these things, it will be something that they will to learn for life. Let me share with you this. I was down in, like I said, I was down in Vegas, and there was a young gentleman, my friend's nephew. He teaches over in Korea. He teaches English. He's over there. He's a teacher. He's been over there for a few years now, but he came back. And we were sitting on they were sitting out on the patio. I hadn't been there yet. They were sitting on the patio. And his father had all these different trees. He told his grandma, he says, "Grandma, that looks like some trees that we have over in Asia." He says, "What?" So he began looking up, and they were white peppercorn trees. So he looked up, this guy had about 4 or 5 white peppercorn trees in his yard. I mean, huge, maybe even more. And so this young gentleman, he looked it up online and began reading off the medicinal benefits of this white peppercorn tree, and even as far as a bug spray. And I'm like, what? And I began looking. I pulled up my little, when I found out about it, I pulled up my little laptop, my little tablet, and I began looking at it. Man, I took some of the, wrapped them up in some plastic bags and brought them home with me. Because the peppercorns are there, and as you rub that red hull off of them, you see the white peppercorn. It's very mild. It's peppery, but it's very mild, not like the black pepper. So I guess that's where we get our white pepper from. You've seen that in the store, white pepper. You get it from the white peppercorn. So this is something that, I say that to say this, this is something that you could do when you're taking your children on trips and going different places. You have your tablet with you. Take a picture. Study what it is that you see. What kind of plant is that? Is that something that's edible? Something that we could do? Let's go pick our own. I know in my area, Central Valley, California, we are the, well, they said we, this is where we get most of our vegetables and our fruits and things from Central Valley, California, but now that we're in the drought, I don't know what we're going to be doing. But we always have places where you can go into, pay a little bit of money, go in and pick your own vegetables, pick your own fruit, pick your stuff off the tree. Do that. How wonderful is that to take your children to do that? That's something that they'll remember. And guess what? That's something that they will want to also work with their children with when they get older. They'll say, and like I've done when my mother did, I said, you know, I remember my mom did this for us. She took us to the park on Memorial Day early in the morning. She had her cast iron skillet. She had eggs and bacon or whatever we need to eat. She cooked all that stuff on the grill. We had breakfast out there early in the morning. I remember getting up before the light was shining. We put all our stuff in the car to go out. Share in memories and make memories like that with your children. Your children are going to turn and make memories with their children. And that's something that you guys can talk about for years to come as families. When you come together around the dinner table, family reunion, celebration, you can say, I remember when Dad, I remember this, I remember that. Pulling those positive and wonderful memories together and then recreating them with your children. So let's do this here. So these are some of the things that you could do. So like I said, the Black Homeschool, you could go on that site and you could pull a lot of information out. They always have things on this site, and I think this is something that I'm going to try to do. They talk about raising Black children, some of the things that you could do to help raise your child. But like I say, you know, you want to go ahead and you want to take in the fish, but spit out the bones if it does not apply to your family. Okay. So they're talking about unschooling, successes during school and successes during the after school. They talked about the principal that was in my area that said, I just don't like Black kids. He's a middle school teacher. And one thing is in Fresno, right down the street from me, 45 minutes from me, if you drive the speed limit. And we're trying to find out what was the people going to be saying in that community. It was really rough because some didn't say anything. What they would do is they would silently move these teachers on to different areas unless we raise the fund. So that's it with that. So let's go ahead and look at some more at some of the things that we're doing with our children. I want to thank all of you for who post on my site, the Education of the Miseducated System. You post some wonderful things and some things that will allow me just to think about it, okay? I'm going to be looking at there's another site that I go to, and it's called Financial Juneteenth. I'm going to go there right now. Financial Juneteenth. And I like looking at that because they tell a lot of things that are going on in our community. Like I said, I'm going to repeat that again. Eat the fish and spit out the bones. And you can subscribe to this on your Facebook page. I'm always getting things on my email telling me what's going on. All right, so they have different things that we could talk about. Financial news, what's going on, some of the things that we need to be aware of, our money, what's going on with our money. Once again, Dr. Boyce Watkins, he puts out a lot of this stuff. And a lot of positive things that... that I have for the, and even he has a little a video here that's talking about everyone gets rich from Black women's hair except for Black women, and we know that to be true. I do want to say something that I saw when we were talking about hair. sisters, if you want to put braids in your hair and you want to do stuff with your hair, I've seen a couple of women when I was on my way back from Vegas. Now, we have, now some of us are shaving our hair back from the hairline. Do what you want to do. But then some of us are just bald because we're putting braids in our hair of other people's hair, and sometimes it's not even hair. It's some type of whatever it is called, a man-made material. So that stuff cuts. Then we have people who braid our hair, and they braid it so tight that that hair cuts our hair. It just snatches and cuts our hair. And then when we're combing it out, say, oh, that's dead hair. It's shedding. No, you're pulling your hair out from your scalp. So a young lady with, you can see the edge, you can see her hairline, and then you see a big old patch of baldness, and then you see where the braids are. So what she has to do, she has to put gel on that. The edges will kind of slick them back over the, that baldness. That's not cute. Let's think about what we're doing to our hair and why we're doing this to our hair and what is the purpose of it, okay? But some of that hair is never going to go back. Talk to your young people about their hair. Talk to your young girls and study and understand the purpose of why we have black hair. What's the purpose of our black hair? Okay, things that we need to think about. Oh yeah, in the news, a black doctor gets exclusive rights to the HIV vaccine. Thank you. His name is. This is what this doctor's name is. We are still making strides, but this is how we're going to find out about it. We're not going to find out about it in our local newspaper and our local news. We got to go to people who are that look like us or that are putting this information out and sharing with it. This, his name is Dr. Matthew Wayne Whitus. He's an African-American doctor. And his Wayne Pharmaceuticals team, wow, who granted the exclusive license recently after being involved in negotiations for several months. The said vaccine, which is hoped to prevent HIV contraction, is currently in its developmental phase at the University of Massachusetts Medical School and is scheduled for clinical trials starting early next year. Thank you. So these are the things that you could talk to you about your child. These are the things that you could talk to you about your children. I was in Vegas. I keep saying I was in Vegas, so you know that this weekend I was. And I love to go to this store. And I was there before I got there. I said, I wonder, do they have a Savers thrift store there? Because when I was living in Phoenix, that was a place I'd love to go and look at their books. Because, like I said, they had a lot of books. I bought a lot of my books from them. The ones that I didn't purchase outright or get from library sales. So I found this book and I thought, oh my God. And it's written by a black man. That's a plus, because you want to make sure that when you're getting history books for your students, you want to get the books that you know are written by people who look like you, because you don't want to misconstrue history. You want the true thing. So here we are. It's called Interesting People, Black American History Makers. See that? It's a collection of the original illustrated biographies syndicated in the National Black Press from 1945 to 1948 and from 1970 to 1986 by George L. Lee. Wow. And George L. Lee, this is what he says. He said, the purpose of this book is to show that with God's help, good courage, and determination, one can achieve much. May its pages be a source of inspiration, knowledge, and pride for all. I'm not going to comment on that. I'm just going to say, along with direction from my ancestors. I get a lot of information from my ancestors. I got a lot of directions on where I should go, what I should do for my ancestors. When I take the time to sit and talk and meditate and talk to them. What am I supposed to do? This is where I'm at. What is my next step? What is my next move should I make? This Mr. Lee, he was a young black artist, and he was trying to make his way in 1933. He had published sports drawings in a Bang and a boxing magazine and the Chicago American newspaper. So he was an artist, and he did a lot of, from what I see, I mean, he's a good artist. So a lot of his drawings are there. It looked like they're done in black and white pencil. And he always tells a little bit about everybody. I mean, he's going from Andrew Young, a United UN ambassador, to Ray Charles, to Lena Horne, Margaret Bush Wilson, the NAACP's women's chairperson, Fannie Lou Hamer, Jesse Owens, Clara Jones, Private Joe Louis Barrow, who was also known as the Brown Bomber, Queen of Jazz, Mary Lou Williams, Juanita Hall, and then we had the first black woman PhD in the United States, Sadie Hannah Alexander, Dr. Freda Witherspoon, Augusta Savage, Grace Lee Stevens, Ida B. Wells Barnett, Bill Pickett, Doris Spears, Smalls, James P. Rapier, Sergeant William Carney, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, William Brown, all of these people, man. I'm just looking, and it's like, this book is probably, let me see, it's a little paperback, and I'll post that on there, on my Facebook page also. And it has an index, it has a table of contents, and it has over 210 pages of this information. It's a very good book, and I like it because the way it's written like in a comic type setting. You have the drawing, and then you have the way it's printed out. If a child were to pick up this book and see, they thought that they probably would think that they were getting ready to read some comic stories, because of the way it's put out. But it's actually a history book. And it's not a whole lot. So things like this, and this was put out in 19, it was put out by Ballantine Books in New York. And it was copywritten in 1989. First copyright was 1976. Second copyright was 1989. Okay. So pulling a book like that, teaching your children history books, excuse me, things like that, we can work with our children. Once again, like I said, we're getting ready to end our summer program, summer school, summertime for our kids. They're going to be going back to school next month, some early next month, some in the middle of next month. Some of you guys won't be going back until the day after Labor Day. Well, that's how we used to go back to school. And you have more time. So I'm telling you, parents, take the time with your children and do some wonderful things. Always find something that's a teachable moment. Even when our children are doing things that are not quite like they should be doing, and we've already warned them, and they're doing what they want to do anyway because they've been indoctrinated into this this world system, inculcated. Okay, being taught over and over and over what they have a right to do. You as a parent, use that as a teachable moment. We have so many people in history, in our history, that we can pull from that were positive and negative. Okay? We have people that were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. People who were not educated on how to act in certain areas. I'm thinking about Emmett Till. beautiful young brother visiting from the north, visiting in the south, did not have a clue that what they say he whistled at a white woman, did not have a clue what that was going to do for him. But what did his mom do? She turned it into a teachable moment for us. So the things that our children do that we can always turn into a teachable moment and pull from history something that they could learn. Or even when we see our children doing positive things, like the young girl who was suspended from school for two common ingredients together and causing a poof in the classroom where there was a puff of smoke and got expelled. If our children want to experiment, let's look at some of our scientists. Oh yeah, you want to do that? Let me show you what this person did. Let me show you about George Washington Carver, who he was. Oh, you like to write? You like to as a child like to write rap, music, songs, whatever. Oh, let's go to some of our writers. Let's go to Langston Hughes. Let's go to some of our people who really wrote some stuff. Let's look at some of the songs that our people wrote, okay? What do these songs mean? And let's look at some of the songs that were written about our people. Okay. So those are some of the things that you could do. You can look at those things and say, oh, wow, this is what was written about our people, which is really true. And let them think. Teach them. Use those teachable moments. Last week I talked to you also about some of the things that our president is pushing forth, and my brother's keeper initiative, and it was a teacher that I was talking to, the young guy I was telling you about who works over who teaching in Korea. His sister is going for her doctorate degree in education. And so we were talking, and I talked to her about, we were talking about some type of initiative. I said, is that the My Brother's Keeper initiative? And she says, no, there's another initiative that's out there that President Obama is putting out, but a lot of us don't know about. And it's for girls and boys. It's for all. And it's an educational initiative. So we have to be aware of what's going on. If you don't get the newspaper, if you only get the newspaper once a week, Monday, Tuesday, get the newspaper. If you don't like to listen to the news, I understand that because I know a lot of times things are embellished. But try to find something where you can find out what's going on in your community. One thing that I want to pull out of is that when you decide to go back to school, if your child is going to go back to school, public school, parents, be involved with going on at the local your local school site. Most schools have school site councils. And a few years back, the money that was being trickled down from the state government into the schools, we used to go to the school district or the office of superintendent of schools, and then they would distribute it to the school district. Now what's being happened is that money, the school district is not taking over that money. The principals are having that money. And I said this a few years ago. The principals are in charge of the money that is being trickled down to the school site. Now, what does that mean? That means that principal is going to make the decision of where that money is spent. You as a parent or even a community member have a right to go and sit in those meetings and voice your opinion because guess what? Those are your tax dollars that are going to that school. So do you want a new phone system? Do you want a new whiteboard? What do they call them, computer boards? What do you want? What do you want for your school? Do you want more equipment, playground equipment? Do you want more hands-on manipulatives for the lower grade? What do you actually want? Do you want to take it to the school board or the district meeting and say, we need to hire more teachers, or we need to go back to hiring teachers' aides to go into the school, this classroom, even if they have to rotate to different classrooms? Give them an 8-hour day. Rotate them to different classrooms where they can assist the teachers who need the help. It's your money. It's my money. What are we going to do? Are we going to sit back on it? Are we going to let the principal, who is a person who may have a degree in engineering, but he's passed his test and he got the degree and he was hired and maybe he grew up in the community and now he's the principal of your school, are we going to allow him to determine what is being spent at the school level? I'll never forget years ago when I was running a private school, one of the parents put their child back in the public school but still wanted me to kind of see what was going on with this young girl, and she said that she was going to this site council meeting, so I went. And the money that was being trickled down to the school, was the elementary school, they were talking about AT&T, that's our telephone company out here, that they were talking about putting telephones in the school. Each classroom would have a telephone, which is okay, yeah, they already had one, but they were going to upgrade. That's what the bulk of the money was going to. And the rest of the money was going to library books, a few library books for different grades. And then the final of the money was going to, well, they had kindergarten or first grade that was sharing some of the same equipment. So they were, some of the books were going to be shared by those two grades. And then they also had a easel, painting easels or whatever they had, art equipment that was going to be shared by those two grades. Now, mind you, it's a public school. You don't have just one kindergarten class. You don't have just one first grade class. You have multiple classes. But those easels, that single one, easel was going to be shared by all of those grades, kindergarten and first grade. The bulk of the money, like I said, went to the telephone system. But like I said, family, that's your money. If you own a home, if you pay taxes in that town, it's your money that their principal is spending. And it's up to you what you want to do with that money. Okay. Well, those are the things that I wanted to talk to you about. Those are the things that have been on my mind this week as I was traveling, looking at different things, the way things are going. And our school system is not getting any better. It's going to get worse. It's up to you as a parent. And one thing, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to close. When I was in Vegas, I saw so many of our brothers just walking the street, emaciated, meaning they were just like, they were just, the life was just sucked out of them. They had no, they were young men too. They weren't old men. But you wouldn't know it. Teeth were missed and they're walking around looking in the gutter, picking up cigarettes and stuff. What has happened? What happened? What has happened to our young men? Brothers, pull yourselves together and get together with some other brothers that look like you and get out into your community and pull these men together. If it's just once a week, talk to them. Have breakfast with them. Even if it's just a bagel and coffee or whatever you need to do, donuts and coffee, pull, find some place. If it ain't nothing, go into a park. And talking to them, gathering them together and talking to them. Build that rapport with them. I'm not telling you to give them money, no. But build their confidence up and have, let them confide in you. Okay? Each one has to reach one. This is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. Thank you for listening today. This is, you've been listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. I am going to be posting, so look at my Facebook page, The Education of the Miseducated System, and I'll see you on next Tuesday. You have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Just move on. Move on. With move on.
Dynasty Radio, 13.